Marcus scared me. He said, you only have to speak, you know, in our Arabic assembly, I speak between 45 minutes and 1 hour. He said, oh, no, you don't do this here. You will speak maximum half an hour. So last time I cut it, but today I'm going to be more generous, okay? So the title of this very message is, There is a River. There is a river. And the passage I'm going to read from is Psalm 46, verse 4. Psalms 46, verse 4. It says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. May the Lord bless this word to our heart this morning. The Amazon, the Colorado River, the Mississippi, the Nile River, all are famous rivers in their own right. The Nile alone is over 4,000 miles long, the equivalent of the distance from New York to the city of Rome. Yet the Bible tells us about many more lowly and obscure rivers, but of great interest than these rivers mentioned above. Rivers from which we can glean. Rivers from which we can benefit for our souls. The Psalmist tells us here in verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. But before we talk about this unique stream, let's consider some other less comforting waters mentioned in the Word of God in the Bible. Let's go to the book of King, 1 King, chapter 17, and we read from verse 2 and verse 3. We all know the prophet Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Cherith, in the original language, is Crete. What does Cherith mean? It means the river of difficulty. The river of difficulty. Difficulties are often found across the path of the children of God, from which none of us is free, is safe. Not even the great man of God, Elijah, was immune. And while Elijah was hiding from Ahab in the place where God told him to hide, he was at the brook of Cherith. This small river, Cherith, or Crete, was his only source of refreshment. The raven used to bring him his food on a daily basis. And day by day, he used to drink from that river. He lived a secured life in that time of drought in Israel. But it came a time when this river dried up that presented a real difficulty to Elijah. His only source of refreshment dried out. My question to you, my friends, are you facing a river of difficulty in your life? Are you in a place or in a situation sure of where God had led you to, but all of the sudden you may be suffering drought conditions? Are you wondering at His ways of dealing with you? I want you to know this morning that exactly what happened to Elijah. Things are maybe not working good for you here in Windsor. You're probably saying to yourself or to your family, let's move somewhere else. Let's sell the house and buy a new one. Let's quit my job and find a new one. Lots of decisions to make. That may be okay. But you better watch it. Seek the Lord first. Because it's more important, in spite of the drought, to be within the perfect will of God than to be in king's palaces, away from the will of God. Elijah stayed by the river of Cherith, in spite of the critical situation. Dear brothers and sisters, I don't know why the Holy Spirit led me to say these words, but I know He got a purpose. He got His own ways. Probably someone is in need to hear from me those words. I would like you to think it over and consider what Elijah did. Stay wherever you are until the Lord will redirect you, as He redirected Elijah. When the river dried up, He redirected him north to Zarephath, southern of Lebanon, where better provision were laid in store before him. My friend, even if the river of your life may often run dry in this world, don't be disturbed. Don't worry at all. You rather rejoice in the Lord. Do you know why? Because there is a river, the streams whereof makes glad the city of God. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and you'll see He'll open a better door for you. Number two, let's open to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. Second Kings chapter 5, verse 10, we read here about Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, who was that man? That was Naaman. You know the story of Naaman, the general of Aram's army. He says here, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, the Jordan River. Jordan River is a river of depression. The Jordan River is the river of depression. The Jordan River boasts the lowest elevation in the world. Starting on the slope of Mount Hermon in the north, it flows south until it empties into the Dead Sea, 1,300 feet below the sea level, the lowest place on earth. The clay-colored water of this river didn't appeal nice to Naaman, that general, that great general of the army of Aram, but he was a leper. Elisha ordered him to go and wash himself in the Jordan River in order to be healed, or to be, say, healed from his leprosy. Naaman was familiar with the beautiful, crystal clear river of Damascus. Aram is Damascus, where he comes from. He didn't like the troubled water of the Jordan River. We hear him say in verse 12, "Are not Abana and Farfar, river of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?" You know something, my friend? Many of us find themselves in a low place at a time. Maybe your circumstances, your history, your personality, maybe all these combined together brought you to the place of depression. We all pass through depression. But just take it easy, my friend. Faint not. That's our natural place to be as Christians. The Book of Songs says about us that we are the roses of Sharon. We are the lilies of the valleys. Where is that beautiful rose or lily found? You don't find it up in the mountains. It's only found down in the valley. The valley for the Christians is always the place of humbleness, where blessings are found. So if you are today in that lower place, don't worry. I'm telling you, just rejoice, because there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Amen. Number 3. Let's go to the book of Judges. Chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "The river of Kishon swept them away." That ancient river, the river Kishon. "Oh, my soul, thou hast trodden down strengths. The river of Kishon swept them away." That ancient river, the river Kishon. "Oh, my soul, thou hast trodden down strengths." The river of Kishon is the river of disasters. Disasters. The Bible tells us that an entire army was swollen in the waters of the river of Kishon one day, saving the people of Israel. The Lord used that river to save his people. And the entire army was swollen into that river. Then the people of Israel, they sang and rejoiced about it. There is a saying that says that when disasters follows, we keep saying in mockery, "It never rains, but it pours." Sometimes we find ourselves like Job. We are hit with successive massive waves in the oceans of this life, until it seems we are overwhelmed and our boat looks like it's going to sink. Trust me, my friend, it will not always be like that. One day, sooner than you think, you will rejoice. You will experience blessings like you never did before. But the key is for you to have faith. Wait and be patient. Because out of all that, and unexpectedly, you will discover that there is a river, the streams of which make glad the city of God. Amen. Number four, let's read in Job chapter 6, verse 15. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks, they pass away. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the streams of brooks, they pass away. The stream of brooks is this deceitful river. In the original tongue, it is called the Wadi Brook. In Hebrew and Arabic, it's called the Wadi Brook, the river of disappointment. Job, we all know his story. Job was living near the region of Arabia, and the rocky watercourses of Arabia are full of water only in winter time, but dry and disappointing in summer time. We all remember when, in the midst of his deep suffering, grief, and calamity, we all know his three friends, Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, who were supposed to be comforting him. They led him instead to depression. He was depressed because of his three friends. So he compared them to such empty brooks. The brook here, as I said, in the original tongue, is called Wadi, meaning a stream that will soon be dry. It is only filled when there is rain. And because it is not being refilled constantly, it will surely dry one day. To Job, at first sight, his three friends seems to promise much by way of comfort and understanding. But unfortunately, at the end, they prove nothing but a bitter disappointment to Job. Have those who you imagine would understand you and sympathize with you unjustly judged you and turned away from you like an Arabian Wadi brook that has no perpetual spring of water to renew it, unfortunately always disappointing? Does it happen to you? Your beloved and friends have disappeared in critical times as rapidly as they came. You know, if this is what's happening, that's okay. Don't despair, my friends. Remember our dear Lord Jesus Christ. He was forsaken by all. But I always want you to remember, in spite of all that, just remember, there is a river, the stream of which make glad the city of God. Amen. Number five, let's go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 and 23. The book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 22 to 23. And Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Mara. Mara, or in the original language, is called Mura, the river of desperation. The river of desperation. You know, my friends, thirst is so tough. It's not a good thing to be thirsty. And there is no better way to experience it than to contemplate the 3 days journey with the people of Israel. You know, they were slaves in Egypt, then God mightily took them out of Egypt. Right after they left Egypt, on their way to the promised land, 3 days later, they ran out of water. They went through a desert without adequate water. The water was bitter. Just imagine the frustration of stumbling across river water only to find it so bitter that you could not drink. One of the greatest problems afflicting God's people, but little recognized, is bitterness. Bitterness is a big problem among the God's people. Where does bitterness comes from? Bitterness is often caused by years of unresolved frustrations, which is then bottled up and converted into simmering anger. Bitterness can lie at the root of many seemingly unrelated physical, emotional, and mental problems. We all remember Hannah, the mother of Samuel. After years of provocation from Peninnah, Peninnah used to come to her and tease her and tell her, "Listen, I have 7 kids. You have none." And she was so depressed. You know, Hannah was prayed and wept before the Lord. The Bible say in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, she prayed in bitterness of soul. She was bitter inside. Peninnah was teasing her all the time, nonstop, for not having any kids. It is so tough to attack the womanhood of a woman. So tough. But later on down the road, bitterness was turned into songs and praise to God Almighty by Hannah. You know, after waiting and weeping, and she had that bitter heart, God has given her how many kids? Who knows? 6. The irony here, laugh here, Hannah sang her famous song saying those words, the woman that doesn't have children, the barren has borne 7. The big question here, Hannah, how are you saying about yourself that you have 7 children when God gave you 6? I can hear her saying, you know, you're right, I have 6 kids, but Samuel is equal of 2 of my sons. And Samuel came to be one of the greatest men of God in the Bible. That's why she sang, the barren has borne 7 sons. Dear brethren, have the river of life turned bitter for you? Is there the desperation in your heart for relief from the torment? Is there any desperation? You want to get released from that? Just stand still and stop complaining. Just thank God for everything. He will turn everything for you good. Relief is at hand, because there is a river, the streams of which make God the city make glad the city of God. Number six, here come the last river, the river of delight. The river of delight. So what is that river mentioned in Psalm 46? There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The psalmist omit the name of that river. But one thing we know, it is a river of delight. It is a river of delight. Perhaps he was referring to the Shiloh stream, which carried water from the spring of Jehon to the lower pool of Siloam, or maybe the Kidron River that ran past Jerusalem on the east. He didn't mention, but it's a river of delight. Or possibly the Holy Spirit meant it to refer prophetically to the river that will flow out from Jerusalem in the millennium. You've heard of this, you've read about it in the Bible. Causing the desert to blossom as a rose and the Dead Sea to be healed. Let's read about it in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 8. Then he said to me, Ezekiel 47, verse 8, then he said to me, these water issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8, he said, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Bible commentators and expositors from ancient time has pointed out a devotional application of this river to the water that flow out of the rock in the wilderness, the rock that Moses hit with his stick, and the fountain of living water mentioned in Jeremiah. Let's read in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. He says here, it's a spiritual application. He said, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew them out cistern, broken cisterns that hold no water. God has often chosen water as a figure of himself, a types and shadows of the Holy Spirit is referred to as the river of living water. In John chapter 7, verse 38, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said these words, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he said concerning the Holy Spirit. So always the water, the living water, is referred to God, the Holy Spirit. As also believing in Christ is to take such a drink that one will never thirst again. As he says in John chapter 6, verse 37, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believe on me shall never thirst at any time. So in the light of what we heard today, what blessed practical application can be extracted from the most delightful image of a river that makes glad the city of God? Into all our difficulties, disappointment, disasters, depression, he brings to us his pure delight. As Spurgeon That great man of God once said, look at this beautiful words that Spurgeon said, divine grace, like a smoothly flowing, fertilizing, full and never failing river, yields refreshment and consolation to believers. This is the river of the water of life, of which the church partakes evermore. It is no boisterous ocean, but a placid stream. It is not stayed in its course by earthquakes or crumbling mountains. It follows its serene course without disturbance. Happy are they who know from their own experience that there is such a river of God. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Amen. May God grant us to take refreshment from the streams of His never failing grace. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts. God bless you.